Exodus 15. 2 weeks ago, we started here in Exodus, bit of a continuation from 2 Samuel 22. We had a list of things that said, the Lord is my, and there was a number of things, my rock, my deliverer, my refuge, all those things in 2 Samuel 22. And then 2 weeks ago, we started in Exodus 15, and in verse 3, you'll see something similar where it says, the Lord is my. And there are three things there, two of which we have covered, one of which we will cover tonight. So let's start in verse 1. Context again, this is the chapter immediately following the Red Sea crossing. The miraculous Red Sea crossing that God made possible. It was not possible without the Lord stepping in and doing something that no man could do. And watch what happens as a result of this miracle. Look at verse 1 of Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. Look who they're singing to. Who are they singing to? It's very important you see that. This song unto the Lord. And spake, saying, I will sing. Next three words. There's a common theme here. I will sing unto the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. So there in verse 2, I said verse 3, but it's actually verse 2, you have that little statement, the Lord is my. And 2 weeks ago, we covered the Lord is my strength. So I'll give you one guess. Here's your quiz for tonight, Miss Diana. You get one guess on the theme of tonight. The Lord is my. We did strength, so what's next? Song. The Lord is my song. And I started digging into this. There's many messages that could come out of this, so maybe this will become more than one, but we'll have some fun with this tonight. Songs. Let's just talk songs in general. I say this, and I'm not proud to say it, but I would guess that a lot of people are in the same boat as me. I have songs that are in my head from 20-plus years ago that I wish were not in my head. Anybody with me? Now, you want to remember this. At the end of the message, I'll try and tie this together, but you would like to get rid of the songs. But all it takes is you going to Walmart, that place we all hate going, and they play the song. They play 5 seconds of the song, and here it goes through your head the rest of the day. You've been there, done that? And if the song wasn't in your head, it would not stick there for the rest of the day. Sometimes it sticks there for a couple of days. But I want you to consider the power of songs. Music is powerful. It is a medium that is used to influence people, not always to do good things. There are many subliminal messages given through song. And it gets inside of you and can have an effect on you, whether you know it or not. So songs are very powerful, also can be very dangerous. So I thought we would start off this morning. I think it's night. I guess I better get it night. This evening with point number one, the greatest song. The greatest song of all time. Now before I actually show you from the Bible, what are some great songs that you can think of? Some great spiritual songs. Help me out here. Throw some out. The old rugged cross. Yeah, that's oft requested. How great thou art. Another good one. Amazing grace. It is well with my soul. These are good. What else we got? This side of the room hadn't echoed yet. So, my Savior's love. Yes. Another one. It is well. Great is thy faithfulness. How about one more. I love to tell the story. And one last one on the hand on the back. Yeah.
We
That is a good song to be in your head. The Windows of Heaven, they sang in junior church last week. And this is the beauty of coming to a church where scriptural songs are sung. Sunday, you get your start for the week hearing good music right here. And hopefully, as you go through the week, some of those songs come playing through your head as you go through the week. Isn't that a great thing? Oftentimes, Monday morning rolls around, and I got a song that we sang on Sunday that just stays there. And that's a good thing. Better than all the secular nonsense that could be in there, right? So you just got to try to chase all that stuff out with as much good music as you can. So y'all had some good, for the greatest song, you had some good suggestions, but let me show you from the Bible what the greatest song is. The greatest song of all time. Go to, I'm going to give it away here, the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And I'll show you why I say it's the greatest song. I think you can say it's the greatest song of all time. Remember, this is what the Bible says. This is not what you and I say. So look at verse 1. The Song of Solomon. Chapter 1, verse 1. If you went to Isaiah, you went too far. Right before Isaiah. Verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. An alternate title or another title for the book that you're in here. Song of Solomon is what I usually call it, but another thing that you hear it called is the Song of Songs. So your Bible says that this is the Song of Songs, indicating that there might not be a better one. This is the Song of Songs. Now, here's what's interesting about this particular book. Do you know what the theme of this book is? Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. What's the theme?
Song.
Okay, the whole book is a song, you could say, yes, for sure. But it is a love story. And it is not like your secular love story. It is basically a conversation between the bride and the bridegroom. And they go back and forth, and sometimes the dialogue is kind of hard to follow as to who's talking. You've got to pay real close attention as you read. Nevertheless, consider, the Song of Songs is a love song. A love song. Now, America's Top 40, old Casey Kasem, you remember listening to that maybe? What a great radio voice that fella had. Man. Most of the songs on the Top 40, now this is secular music, but most of the songs, what kind of songs are they?
Love.
Yeah, isn't that something? The Bible tells you that the Song of Songs is right here, and it's a love story. And it's a biblical love story. Isn't it just like the world to take that particular topic, love stories, set things to music pertaining to, and I'm going to put this in big quotation marks, love, because you know it's not Bible love. It's lust. And what have they done? They've taken the songs, most songs, secular songs, are quote, love stories, or love songs, but the love that they're talking of is nothing biblical, most of the time. Would you agree? So, I think that's interesting how this book is laid out as the Song of Songs, and at the same time, just like the world to take something biblical and do what with it? Just twist it all up and corrupt it, or at least try to. So, let's try to reel this thing back in. Now, I have to point something out. You're in the book of Song of Solomon, so I always like doing this. If this is the Song of Songs, I thought the word sing or singing or song will be in this book many times. Guess what? It's actually not. I believe the only other place you're going to have a reference to singing or a song is in chapter 2. And I got to show you this. This is really neat. Go to chapter 2 of Song of Solomon. Look at verse 12. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of who? Birds is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. That's probably referring to the turtle dove there. The voice of the turtle. And nevertheless, you have the singing of birds. Now, I tell you what. I'm so glad my parents told me this when I was a kid. They would tell me, now they were goofing around when they said this, but I always took it serious as a kid, and now as an adult, I still kind of take it half serious. You ever see the birds up on the telephone line? All lined up there? And if we were ever on our way to church on a Sunday and we just happened to see birds on a telephone line, my mom or my dad would make the comment, "The birds are having church. They're up there on that line. They're all lined up and they're singing." Now, I got to tell you a little story about birds singing. By the way, you ever hear birds that sound bad singing? I personally can't. Now, I'm not talking about some of the weird noises that are not singing. It's not songs. It makes a weird noise sometimes. But if birds are singing, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So I got to tell you a funny story here about birds singing. We have a little screened-in porch where we live at our condo, and our cats go out on that screened-in porch. Well, our newest cat, who we've had for about 8 months now, we've noticed that when we first got her, she had her own personal meow and her own personal noises. But since she's been with us, she's picked up the noises of our other cat, and she tries to mimic him. And she doesn't sound exactly like him, but you can tell that it's not her original meow and her original noises. So here, over the summer, it was the neatest thing. I think Sherry actually got a video of this. It's amazing. She's out on the porch. The birds are singing. And guess what she's doing? She's singing back. And she was trying her best to say the same thing, to sound exactly like those birds. So I had never in my life heard a cat sing until here a few months ago. But she was giving it her best shot. I think it's a pretty neat thing that birds and other animals make noises. And I personally think, you think I'm a little crazy, I personally think they make noises unto the Lord. I think they do. What did God make them for? He made them for His pleasure. He made them for His glory. Doesn't it make sense that, now we don't always do it for sure, but the animals oftentimes do a better job than we do of singing praise to the Lord or giving praise to the Lord or showing forth His glory. Pretty neat. Okay, let's go over to the next point here. Go to Zephaniah. You got to find that before I give you the next point. It might take you a while. Zephaniah chapter 3. The greatest song, I think, arguably, Song of Solomon. It actually says something about that in the first verse. Go to Zephaniah chapter 3. Point number 2 is the greatest singer. Who's the greatest singer of all time? What do you think? Brother Mark makes the claim as being the greatest singer. I will not ask Miss Diana if that's true or not. Who do you think the greatest singer is? There's been some good singers, and I mean some good Christian singers. I did not know about the fella until Pastor mentioned him many years ago. I think we first started going to church here. This fella, Jewish fella, Marty Goetz. What a voice. Wow. A Jewish song and an incredible singer. A lot that I could recall to say. There's a fella, when I was in Murfreesboro, this is pretty neat. Murfreesboro, Tennessee is where my first teaching job, where that was. I worked with a lady. She was our sixth grade teacher. Her name was Barbara Hart. She was the widow of a fella named Ray Hart. You ever hear Ray Hart? I had never heard Ray Hart until I met his widow. Great lady. I learned so much about teaching from her. She's just an incredible master teacher. And she actually gave me some of his, this is way back in the day, cassette tapes. Remember those? And I remember listening to those things and thinking, what a voice. If you've never heard Ray Hart, you can probably pull him up on the internet nowadays. He's got quite a voice. Anybody else you come to mind? Great singer, great voice. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Say again. George Beverly Shea. Yes. Very good. We could name a bunch more, I'm sure. But look at the greatest singer of all time according to the Bible. Check over this. Zephaniah 3. Go down to verse 17 toward the end here. Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with," what's the word? With singing. Who's doing the singing in that verse? The Lord. Now, the reason I say, I know that the Bible does not specifically say in that verse that the Lord is the greatest singer, but consider all these great singers that you mentioned or maybe you thought of, how did they get their voices? The Lord gave them their voices. So, Wouldn't you love to hear what it sounds like when the Lord sings? Did you notice at the end of that verse, what is He singing about in that verse? He will joy over who? What's it say? He will joy over thee with singing. You know who the Lord sings to? His people. Sure does sound like. Isn't that something? What does that sound like? I don't think you could ever imagine down here on earth what that sounds like. I sure hope we get to hear that in heaven, though. I got a feeling we will. Isn't that something? The Lord Himself is a singer. All right, let's go to another place. How about some other singers in the Bible? And I think you could say great singers. Go to 1 Chronicles. There's a bunch of these, but I just picked out three. 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. 1 Chronicles, chapter 15. Some other great singers in your Bible. As I go through this, we could do another message on what these singers are singing about. And I'll hit on a little bit of that, but there is so much when you start studying song and singers in the Bible. So look at 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 15, go down to verse 16. This is the account of the Ark of the Covenant coming back where it should be, back to Jerusalem. And this is a big event in the history of Israel. Look at verse 16. 15, 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers. And look what all they have here. With instruments of music, psalteries, and harps, and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Kishiah, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Unai, Eliab, and Benaiah, and Messiah, and Mattathiah, these are tough, and Eliphala, and Micaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, the porters. So the singers, and I'm naming these on purpose because God recorded them, the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. Go down to verse 22. Let's get a little bit more on this. There's a whole lot here. Verse 22, and Chenaiah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful. Sounds to me like he played the role of the song leader. Notice in that verse, very interesting, it says he was skillful. He was skillful in teaching others about the song. Does God give certain people ability to teach others how to sing? If you know of anybody, send them my way so I can learn how to sing a little better. I actually had people try to work with me over the years, and it just hasn't gone so well. There's a fella at the camp in the summer that I go to with the boys that has just an incredible singer, and he does all the musical stuff out there, and he worked with me one-on-one for quite some time a couple summers ago, and the poor fella, I felt so bad for him. I just could not get on key. I just couldn't. But I just sang the best I could anyway, and neat experience, and he's a Jewish guy too, really neat experience. So there's a few, and if you go on down there to verse 27, look at this, last thing here. Guess we got to include one more. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and Chenaiah, the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. And then you look at that next verse, they bring the Ark of the Covenant, they're shouting, there's a sound of trumpets and a cornet and cymbals, and they're making a noise with psalteries and harps. So I wanted to mention David because I think when you consider singers in your Bible, doesn't he come to mind? Because most of the Psalms have been put to music, and who wrote most of the Psalms? David. Yeah, very likely a skilled musician himself. So there's a few singers, some by name they are given. Go over to 2 Chronicles. Now here's a neat account. 2 Chronicles 20. Here is song in one of the most unusual places. 2 Chronicles 20. Very unusual place where songs are sung, but great results as a result of singing. Look at verse 13, 2 Chronicles 20. I'll give you a little background here. the kingdom of Judah is under attack. I believe it is the Moabites here that are after them. And they are in a place where they are wondering how they're going to win. They're outnumbered. They're distressed. So let's take a look at verse 14. 20:14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now watch this message he gives. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Great statement here. "For the battle is not yours, but God's." That's a great statement. Look at verse 16. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Watch this next verse here. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." All right, so let's go down to verse 20 and see what they do as they go out to the battlefield. "And they rose up, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Okay, here we go. Watch what happens. Watch the details. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed..." Now hold on a second. Don't they need swords? Don't they need spears? Don't they need bow and arrow? Slingshot at least? They don't use any of that. Look what happens. "He consulted with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." 22. "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped." How'd they win the battle, folks? What'd they do? They did one thing there. What'd they do? They started singing. They started singing to the Lord. And the Lord heard that song. And the Lord took care of the rest, didn't he? No swords, no spears, no weapons of any sort. They go out. I think it's interesting. They went out before the army. And they sang. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day as a result of them singing. Pretty neat. So there's some more singers in battle. Go over to Acts chapter 16, and while you're turning over there, I have to cover this one. This is a really neat one. Singers in the Bible. Acts chapter 16, while you're going over there, I find it interesting that college football is one of the little g gods in our world today, isn't it? Particularly in the United States. I could say the professional football, but I'll just tell you something about college football. It's really interesting. College football games, they have bands that play, don't they? And you ever notice, when does the band play their trademark song? When do they do that? Right after a touchdown. Right after, they have a fight song that they sing. Or some kind of song that they sing right after a touchdown. It's a celebration of what just happened. Who do you think they're praising when they do that? Yeah, most definitely not the Lord. They're praising the player or just the school in general. Interesting side note. What do you call the place you went to college? You refer to that place as your alma mater. Anybody know what that means? Alma mater? Anybody? Alma has to do with mother. Mater, Pastor, you remember? I'm trying to remember. Mater. There's something about mother there. And I'm trying to think. This just came to me here. So putting that all together. But there's something really strange about that terminology. You have to find out the specifics on that. But I'll just say this. You're definitely not praising God, right? And there's a Roman Catholic connection there. I wish I could remember what that other thing is there. Mater. Maybe it'll come to me later on. There's a Roman Catholic connection there with that terminology. They also sing in college football at the end of the game if their team won. And that's when actually they will sing. Sometimes the entire crowd will sing the school's alma mater. And they're all in unison, and it's a celebration. And God receives no glory out of that because they're not singing about Him. They're not even singing to Him. But kind of interesting. What do you have? You finding out? Yeah. Tell me what you find out there. We'll go on here. Tell me what you find out. Acts 16. Paul and Silas. You know this account. Where are they? They're in prison. Go down there to verse 23. They just won't keep their mouth shut. They won't stop preaching. And as a result, people don't like it. Or at least the opposition doesn't like it. So look at verse 23. Look what happens to these fellows. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, before I go on and read the next verse, and try not to look at it, I want you to consider, if you were in the same position as Paul and Silas here, you just got beat, you just got thrown into prison, you've just been treated shamefully, and they just fastened your feet in the stocks, you're in the worst place you could possibly be. Let me ask you a question. What's your attitude? Wouldn't it really be easy to say, this is unfair, this is not right? It'd be really easy to do that. So I know that I need to hear this. Maybe you do as well. When things are not going your way, and particularly when you have done right repeatedly and you continually have opposition, be not discouraged. Amen? Because look what these fellas do, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and what else did they do? Sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. In a moment where we would all be probably thinking about how unfortunate we were and how unfair the world is and wallowing in self-pity, what are they doing? They're praying and singing praises unto God. That's a great lesson. Now, look at the result of their song. It was pretty incredible that the Lord defeated the enemies of Israel when they sang. Look what happens here. 26. And suddenly there was a great what? Now, let me stop here. This is food for thought. Does the earthquake occur if they don't sing and pray? Something to think about, isn't it? I do not think it's a coincidence that right after they sing and pray, there you have it. There's an earthquake. Because look what happens. This is no coincidence. There's a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And I'll just tell you the rest of the story here. The jailer was afraid that the prisoners would have escaped and he was going to take his life. And Paul and Silas stop him. They say, we're all here. And then they say the well-known verse in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? And they'd say that to the jailer. So, great account of some singers in your Bible there. Now, you have something, Miss Cookie? The Lord got in on the singing there. Yeah, very interesting. Very, very well could be. I just do not see that as coincidence. Those events happened on purpose in that timing. So that's the Lord doing something great there. So let's go over to a last point here. We've got a couple minutes here. We have the greatest song, the greatest singer, along with some other biblical singers. How about the goal of scriptural songs? Now make sure you catch this. The goal of scriptural songs. How do you determine whether a song is a spiritual song or a scriptural song or a hymn? Let's lay some things down here. Go to Colossians 3. Do you get an answer on that alma mater thing? Were y'all looking on that?
Yeah.
What do you got there, Zane?
It stands for nourishing mother.
There we go. Okay.
And you got some sort of weird abomination statue that looks like it crawled out of the Vatican with alma mater classes
on. So nourishing mother, and they say that all roads lead to Rome.
Yep.
Let me just change that. All roads of false doctrine go right through Rome. They do. There's some kind of connection. I mean, almost every time. False doctrine, there's some Roman Catholic connection. So there you go. That's a little thing. Alma mater. I said that for years, not knowing what that meant. Saying, yeah, that's I went to Louisiana State University in Shreveport. Alma mater. Now I'm just going to say, that's where I went to school. I'm going to say alma mater. That Roman Catholic connection out of there. Colossians chapter 3. Let's talk about the goal of scriptural songs. I'm going to give you just a few things here on scriptural songs. The first thing here in Colossians 3, the goal of scriptural songs ought to be for the sake of memory or recall. And I'll show you this. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to who? To the Lord. So the first thing here, the goal of scriptural songs, if God's word is in you, says let the word of Christ dwell in you, the result will be teaching and admonishing. Notice the usage of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and singing. All these things go together. So here's where I'm going. One of the best ways to memorize Scripture, or to memorize anything, we mentioned at the beginning about songs and how they're in your head. The lyrics are in your head, whether you want them there or not, from many years ago. Because it was set to music, words to music, it stays with you. A great way to memorize Scripture is to make a little song to go along with what you're memorizing. And I will tell you, the best way to get a little song is to get a homemade song. Make it yours. I got some silly ones that I've made up over the years to go along with scriptures I've memorized. And I remember it because I made a song for it. My buddy Chip, who I've mentioned many times before, great help to me over the years spiritually, he set the entire book of Revelation to song. I'll have to see if I can get that, get a copy of that somewhere down the line. But he plays a guitar, and he put the whole thing to music. So I don't know if he still could. He did have, because he set it to music, he was able to recall a whole lot of that book. Memorized it many years ago. He memorized a whole book, Revelation. But he was able to do it because he set everything to music. And it was his original music. And it's not anything fancy. It's just him and a guitar. And some of it kind of sounds like it doesn't really fit with a beat or anything. But it's his song, and he remembers it. So you want to memorize Scripture? Set it to music, and it's very helpful. Go over to, real quick here, you're in the New Testament here, Pauline epistles. Go to Ephesians. We'll hit this one real quick. Ephesians. Song also reveals what is in you. And notice the spiritual connection here, Ephesians 5. Look at verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Song reveals what's in you, and you want to have the right thing in you. So let's see what that is. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So that's a command, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit. Look at the next verse. What's the first word in the next verse? Speaking to who? Yourselves. How? Watch it. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. There it is again, to the Lord. So the goal of scriptural songs is to bring out the work of the Holy Spirit from the inside to the outside. Again, if the Holy Spirit is in you, and you're saved if He is, and you put God's Word in your heart, folks, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to contain it. You're going to have to speak of God, His Word, and what He's done for you. And notice in the verse there, a mark of being filled with the Spirit is what? What's a mark of being filled with the Spirit? Singing. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. The last three words are very important. To the Lord. That means, when I just say this for saying it, take it or leave it, when you're here at church, anytime you're here at church, and we have a song leader up here, whoever it is, Brandon or whoever, and they're leading songs, you should be singing to, which means You're not singing to the people in church, which also means you don't care how you sound. Isn't that right? If you're singing to the Lord, if you're truly singing to the Lord. And I know some people try to make a show. I'm not talking about that. Some people just try to be obnoxiously loud. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about genuine singing to the Lord. If you're really doing that, you don't care about what anybody else thinks. And I'll tell you, you can tell. You folks have been around church long enough, you know this. You know when somebody's really singing genuinely to the Lord, don't you? It's a really neat thing. It's an awesome thing. Okay, let's go to the last thing here. The goal of scriptural songs, memory or recall, to bring out the work or the work or the word of God from the inside to the outside. And then the last thing, let's hit two places in Psalms here. I already kind of said it, but I want to just add to it. Singing praise to the Lord. The goal of scriptural song ought to be giving praise to the Lord. So go to Psalm 28. I'll give you two places here and then we'll be finished. Psalm 28. The goal of scriptural songs in giving praise to the Lord. Psalm 28. All right, look at verse 7. You'll see something very close with what we read when we started tonight in Exodus 15. 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. So notice there, rejoicing and praising God, both done with the song. I know it's not the only way, but it certainly is a way, and a very good way, to give praise to the Lord. All right, one more. One of my, if I had to put a top three on Psalms, go to Psalm 40. This is definitely in my top three. Psalm 40. Psalm 119, there's a bunch of verses in Psalm 119 I really like. And then probably number two or three on the list would be Psalm 40. I like Psalm 1. So Psalm 1 and Psalm 40 would probably battle it out for the number two on my list. Psalm 40, look at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Have you ever considered, if you're saved, God delivered you from the pit of hell? Amen? Whew. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. What's that song about? Look at it. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What a great testimony you can have. Singing praise unto the Lord. That verse tells you, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord as a result of us singing. Singing praise to the Lord. All right, so there you go. There's a few places there. We could run the rest of the night looking at songs and singing in the Bible, but hopefully that kind of whets your appetite there. Hey, the world has got it all messed up, haven't they, when it comes to songs? Okay, so just let me tell you. Oh, what you got? So do a lot. Oh, I'm glad you said that. So do a lot of churches. Yes, sir. Make sure that you just turn off the world. The world wants to get in your heart and mind through song. Put the wrong things in your heart and mind. Just turn that off. Turn on the Word of God and some good spiritual songs, some good scriptural music. Hard to find these days, but it's out there. And you can find it if you dig a little bit. But hard to find because, like you're saying, Brother Mark, the corruption with a lot of so-called churches today when it comes to songs and singing. So I hope that helps you a little bit. Hope you go out of here singing to the Lord. Hey, on your way home in the car, if you're by yourself, that's a great place to sing. There is nobody around to hear you and judge you. Amen? Doesn't matter if they were, but you can sing to the Lord on the way home. So let's pray together. Lord, sure want to thank you for what you've given us here again. Help us to just really, from our hearts, give you praise and song. Not only when we're here, but also when we're away from here on our own. Times in our lives whenever things aren't going so well for us. I pray that we just reach out to you, even through a song, and just be reminded of how great you are. Pray you get the praise you deserve through our voices, through our songs. We just want to ask for your hand of protection on us as we go. We're going out into this dark mixed up world that is absent from so much truth. And I just pray for help. Just pray you strengthen and empower us to be the light that this world needs. May you be glorified in what we do and say between now and Sunday. And we just look forward to being back here again, seeing one another and being able to worship you. And we just pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.